Thank you. Amen. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 1. We started a new series through the book of Mark. We've entitled this lesson, Strengthened Before the Wilderness. Strengthened Before the Wilderness. I really believe that the Spirit of God wants to speak to some people's hearts today and bring encouragement. And so I don't want you to think that church is over and everything that God is doing is done. You've had the cake, now you get to eat the icing. So we're going to expect the Spirit of God to continue to bring life into the rest of this service. So Mark chapter 1, verse 8, he says, I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, You are my beloved Son, to whom I am well pleased. Immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe in the gospel. Father, we come before you today, and we thank you, Lord, for what we've already experienced in the Spirit of God. I thank you for the renewal, Lord, for the breath of life, Lord, that you have breathed into this service. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that your word is anointed and that our ears are anointed today to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. So, Lord, we want to receive life, Lord, so we submit ourselves to you. And, Lord, we're laying our hearts on the altar today to say, Lord, feed us and touch us and renew, Lord, that springs of living water in us, Father. No longer should we be dry wells, Lord, but we want the living water of God flowing out of our hearts. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I love the book of Mark. It's a hard-hitting, fast-moving, action-packed book, 16 chapters. He basically gives you one verse that talks about the Spirit of the Lord led Jesus into the wilderness. And some of the other Gospels expound on that a great deal. Gives us five verses talking about John the Baptist and what a man John the Baptist was. And Mark gives us five verses. It's because his Gospel is all about Jesus and he wants to teach us some things. But I want you to know, he says that John is saying, there's one coming that's greater than me. And where I'm baptizing you with a baptism of water unto repentance, there's one coming that's going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost. And what he is showing is there's something greater coming. I'm getting ready to step aside because the greater one is coming and the greater work is going to be done. The church has bought into water baptism and believed for salvation, and then we stopped. And then we said, well, this is all of it. That's not what John said, and that's not what Jesus. But I want you to know, the spirit of Antichrist is very well alive in the world today, right? You realize that when the Jews was on the scene and Jesus comes in and he says, you know, basically, I am God and I've come to you. That you might have salvation. They said, no. We're Abraham's seed, and we know God. And we don't know you. And we don't accept this new thing. And the church says, how dare they? How could they not see that Jesus is part of the Godhead? How could they not see it? And then we move forward about 2,000 years, to the church of today, where the church of today says, hey, we understand God. We understand that God sent his son Jesus to bring life. But that Holy Ghost thing, don't know about that. You can keep your Holy Ghost and all that stuff, because I don't want that emotional stuff. Well, I don't blame you. I don't want the emotional stuff either if it's not from God. I want the genuine. And there's been a lot of fake. And that's why there's a lot of people very cynical against the Holy Ghost, is because they've seen us do foolish things. But just like the old saying, let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. There is a real Holy Ghost. He is part of the Godhead. And just like the Jew says, we don't accept you, Jesus. We understand God. Let's not be so arrogant that says we understand salvation comes through Jesus and that's good enough for us, and wind up missing the blessing of the Holy Ghost. You see, the Holy Ghost is the agent of God on the earth today. A lot of people will say, Jesus is in my heart. And I've just got to tell you, you're wrong. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. The Holy Ghost is in your heart. The Holy Spirit of God is in your heart. And it's part of the Godhead. And that's why you understand it to be Jesus. But it's really the Spirit of God. But he says there comes an unleashing of that Spirit, a baptism of that Spirit that Jesus wants to take us to where every day you find an intimacy with the Spirit of God, so that he is literally walking with you every moment of every day. God is in your heart. The Holy Ghost is in your heart to lead and to guide you and to keep you in the right path. Okay? So, I thank God for all the gifts of the Spirit. I really do. I thank the Lord. Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all. And I'm thankful for tongues. But can we just say, can we get over it? Can we just get over the tongues thing? And let's form a relationship with the Holy Spirit. I think when we reduce the Holy Spirit to speaking in tongues, we've done him a very major infraction. To say that the Holy Ghost is tongues is like, you're missing the picture. The Holy Spirit is God. He's so much more than just speaking in tongues or prophesying or doing any one of the gifts that he wants to do. He is God on the earth, in your heart, that's going to help your trip to heaven. A lot of people have purchased the ticket, but the journey is not so great. And the Spirit of God says, I want your journey to be good. So hang with me, and I will get you there laughing and joyful the whole way. And that doesn't mean you're not going to have trials, but in your trial, the Holy Ghost will see you through. I have a testimony today that I want to share with you. This is Cindy Dunn. Cindy and Danny are fairly new to the church. They're not new to us. We're friends, been friends for many years. But this week I was talking to her as I was studying this lesson, and I thought, this is not a coincidence. And so I've asked her if she would come and share. Can we get that mic? Ask her to come and share her testimony with you today. And then I will come back. And I promise you, I have a whole lot more sermon. It's on already? Testing. I think I turned it off. It's on now.
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank Pastor for letting me get in front of you. And like I said, I don't know you guys, know some faces. But I'm just going to do a short testimony, and I felt that the Lord had put this on my heart. And, you know, when the Lord puts something, downloads something in your heart, and it just eats you up alive, you know you've got to move on it. So I just ask that the Lord let me be in a conduit for this and to go forth, and it's for somebody in this church. I'll give you a little bit. And two, my speeches, if you sit here, S's and C's, I have a TMJ brace. So I didn't really want to do this in front of you because of this brace, but here goes. First of all, I'd like to tell you a little bit about myself. I was not blessed to be raised up in a church. I was raised by my aunt and uncle, and They were loving parents to me, gave me love, nurturing. You work hard, you're a good person, you better not go to jail. So that was basically never prayer, never a Bible. So that's where my background comes from. So I don't have a denomination of, and I'm not going to do these in any order, Baptist, Pentecostal, Assembly of God, Methodist, Lutheran. I had nothing. So God, when I married and had my children, kind of was wooing me to church. And we were in and out of church. And we started Assembly of God Church. It just happened a pastor came in where I was working. And he walked up to me and he said, I need to see Cindy Dunn. And I'm going, ooh. And he put his hand on my shoulder and he said, God sent me. And I'm like, what? Well, he had met my cousin in Nashville, who said, my cousin in Kentucky needs to be in church. And he invited us to his church, and it was Assembly of God. And I went in there in that church all puffed up, you know, I'm somebody, I'm in the flesh. And I heard them speaking in tongues. And I can remember, you know, looking and standing back and thinking. And I told my husband, I don't know if he remembers this, and I said, I don't know what they're doing, but if you ever hear me do that, that is God. Man, I had, ooh. But my daughter was so drawn to this church that we stayed there. We were there any 8-9 years? Yeah, maybe. We asked her. The church didn't grow, though. And I couldn't figure out, you know, we were just sitting maybe a minimum of 30 or 40. And we asked her, do you want to go to a bigger church? Being a teenager, thinking she needed to be hearing more of the word. She'd been baptized. She'd went to the choir of the fire. But she didn't know she wanted to stay there. She loved the pastor. And she actually, the pastor said, she taught me how to hug. He was from the north. Not condemning any northerners. But they southerners, we like to hug. And so we didn't leave the church. We stayed there for her. But as they were talking in tongues, and they wasn't laying out or nothing, but we did hear the word, but I didn't get the word. I didn't understand it. But my daughter was downstairs teaching those little group kids, children, and so she was getting fed, learning what she had missed. And I see that now. And then he got where he wanted her to come up to the sanctuary because she was a little bit older and he wanted her to hear the message a little bit deeper. But to make a long story short, because I could go on by my testimony, you know, God gave me the verse in Revelations, we are overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimonies. So I'm very humbled to be here, but this is where you wish you could go and erase part of your testimony, but sometimes you have to go forward. In 2004, Danny and I got the call that no parent wants to have. Our daughter had been killed. She was 18 years old. She'd just come off a mission trip, had her plan to go to college to be a nurse. Oh, man. We went back to the church after the funeral. I just couldn't sit there because I had watched her worship and hold her hand up in the air and sweaty palm. And so we left the church and went to a little Baptist church, and I felt like there was more. And the devil really, and I don't want to give him any credit because the credit goes to God, but he really got me in demonic grief, thinking if I would do something, I could be with her. And that was my heart. I wanted to be with my daughter. And I didn't think about Danny. I didn't think about my other children. But 4 years of demonic grief, and I mean demonic grief. Bad. Cry every day, every night. So one day I was walking in the park, and I don't know why. Yes, I do know now, and I guess today proves it. I was walking in the city park, and I mean, I didn't care about nothing. And I just said, God, if you're real, if you truly are real, you're going to have to make this better. Because if you don't make it, I can't stay here. I cannot go on. I don't know my purpose. I don't know who I am. I don't want to be here. And I'm telling you, church, this is for somebody today, because remember, I don't have a denomination. The hem of his garment, literally, I felt come down on me, and I started speaking in tongues. Well, that's okay, and that's good, and I felt, and I cried, and I was just, whoa. But I didn't know what it meant. And we had visited a church in Murray, excuse me, 3 times. We went on a Sunday night, and I got baptized in the city park on a Wednesday. So I went back, and I'm on fire, and I'm on the front row, and I'm just trying to contain myself. And afterwards, the pastor come and got me to the side, and he knew what had happened. And he said, you understand this is a gift from the Lord. Everybody can have it. And now it was me and him, and he said, I want to hear you speak in tongues. And I'm like, oh, no. I said, I don't know that I can. He said, yes, you can. So I did, and I didn't get the prayer language of baby words. It was bam, because I think God knows my personality, and I'm kind of hyper, so he gave it to me. Yeah, he gave it to me. Then he was very gracious to pull me aside and tell me what your pastor, my pastor now, is trying to teach you. There is order. It's not to be misused. So if you see me laying out here on the floor, it's God. Because, no hokey pokey stuff. When you sit under a pastor for about 9 years and you're being taught word by word, chapter by chapter, and you understand the revelation, you're not going to want to be hokey pokey, screaming, yelling. I mean, when it's in order, when it's time, if it's a corporate. So I'm in here to encourage you from God, and this is God. Open your ears, because I'll tell you, if it hadn't been for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, 4 years into this crying and this grief of my daughter, and I miss her right now, I could cry right now, and I've asked God, please don't let me get up there and just cry. But that is the day that I started my journey to healing. And I thank God for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I'm expecting more, because I know the Holy Spirit, this is just the beginning. But it's been a long, hard road, and the devil has drug me through mud and murk and just, but I praise God that I'm here today to say I come up on top with God.
Amen. I thought if you heard that, it would encourage you to go forward. The Bible says the traditions of man make the word of God of no effect. So don't be afraid of what God is doing in your heart. Embrace it and let the Holy Ghost come in and do something. So John said, hey, there's one coming after me that's going to baptize you, not with water, but with the Holy Ghost. And when he baptized Jesus, the Bible says that the Spirit descended in the form of a dove and landed on Jesus in a voice. So it's a perfect picture of the Trinity. And a voice spoke from heaven, this is my beloved Son. The book of John, chapter 1, verse 33, I can't hardly read my notes. He says, the Spirit descended and remained. So I don't want you to think of this as something that just happened and it's over. No, that was Jesus basically being baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's what happened at that moment. And then what happened next was very interesting. And the way the Scripture records it, which is the Holy Ghost who writes the Scripture, he says the Spirit then drove Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted, not tested, tempted by the devil. So the first thing I want to tell you is the Spirit of the Lord leads us and guides us. And I know we're not supposed to add to the word, but I just want to say sometimes he drives you. Sometimes he doesn't lead you and guide you. Sometimes he drives you. And I don't know if you've ever experienced that in the Holy Ghost, but I have oftentimes felt the Spirit of God not leading me gently, but saying, go, 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 go. It is time. Even this week, one day this week, I was driven to prayer. And then you may say that that's, you're a preacher. How dare you? You know, preachers always pray. No, they don't. No, they don't. You know, we do pray, and I do pray, but sometimes it's a little bit more than that. Sometimes it's like there's something in me that the Spirit of God is saying, stop doing what you're doing and come before me now. Now. And that was one of those days. And this sermon basically has come out of that. Of the Spirit drives you. I am so sick of Christians talking about luck or coincidence that I'm just in the right spot at the right time. Gee, I don't know how that happened. Wise up. There's a driver inside your heart. The Spirit of God puts you in the right spot at the right time so that He can do something in someone else's life or in your life. And we get that most of the time, but what we don't get is that the Spirit would drive us into the wilderness? No, that's not God. God doesn't drive, you know, the wilderness is not a fun place. So why would God drive me to a place that's, because you need to learn from Him. Not everything that happens in the wilderness is bad. Actually, great things come out of the wilderness. The Bible says that Jesus was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. That doesn't sound like fun to me. I don't know about you, but that's not going to hit my top 10 fun things to do. You see, I want you to understand that James says that God does not tempt us with evil. This was not God tempting Jesus to show Him what He's made of. This was Satan tempting Jesus to say, I've got a better plan for you. If you'll do these things, I can make things happen for you, Jesus. It's very similar to what happened to Eve in the garden. Satan comes in and says, has God really said that? You really think that's what God meant? God's withholding good things from you. I've got a better way, Eve. You want to really know what life is about, Eve? Take a bite of that fruit. And Eve fell for it. But Jesus didn't. 40 days, Jesus fasted. I can barely make it to 3. But in 3 days, if you put food in front of me when I've been fasting, get out of my way. You might get hurt. My hands will fly. 40 days. Now, I'm just going to say this as a pastor. You do not go on an extended fast like that ever unless you absolutely know it's the Holy Ghost. So don't you ever do that unless you know, and then you consult with your doctor and tell him what you're going to do, because it's actually very dangerous. But when God's in it, great things are going to happen. Now, He doesn't tell us what happened, but Matthew told us that the very first thing that happened was Jesus come to Satan and He says, turn that stone into bread. I know you're hungry. And He come back with the word, thou shalt not live on bread alone, you know, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I wish I could read my writing. The second thing He said, and it's tiny. He says, took Him up to the pinnacle, and He said, if you'll throw yourself down from here, the angels will catch you. And Jesus looked at Him and said, don't you tempt the Lord your God. Again, quoting Scripture. The third thing is, He said, Jesus, you fall down and worship me and me only, and I'll turn everything over to you. And he said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and him only. And it said that Satan went away to tempt him at a later time. I want you to understand very clearly, this was not God tempting Jesus. This was the devil tempting him to sin. God will sometimes put tests in our life. Temptation is to draw you away from Jesus. It's to draw you away from God. Testing will prove you. We go through times of testing like gold goes through the fire to refine us. So times of testing that the Lord has for us will refine what he's doing in your life. Temptation is strictly from the devil to draw you away. And that's why in the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer, he said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You get it? Don't get this thing confused. This was the devil trying to have his way in Jesus' work, in Jesus' life. But you got to catch the very first thing. He was baptized and spirit-filled. And then, you see the order? And then the Spirit said, go to the wilderness. There's some things you're going to overcome. Here's my point. Most of us think, oh dear God, we're so scared of temptation. Oh dear God, I don't want to be tempted. I don't want to be tempted. I don't want to fall away, Jesus. If you learn to overcome temptation, it makes you stronger. It's like, giddy up. Right? I have overcome. Men, universal, pretty much have a problem with lustful thoughts. We have to control that because we are sight driven. We like to see things. And if you do not control your thoughts, you will go down a path of evil. Because every woman just becomes a piece of meat. But for the redeemed man, he trains himself. When that temptation comes, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to look at that girl like she's a piece of meat. That's a sister in the Lord. I'll not violate her in that way. And what happens when you do that, now ladies, it may be the same for you, but I don't think so. But it may be the same in some other area. But what happens when you overcome temptation, you get a little stronger. And then every time that temptation comes, you got to stay true. Stay true. Don't bend. Don't give in to those thoughts. Keep your mind pure. And what happens is you become a force to be reckoned with. And you don't become a 70-year-old pervert. A dirty old man. You become a righteous, godly old man. That people love and admire. And I have seen them both. And it's pretty sickening. A pervert at 19, if God doesn't intervene, will be a pervert at 70. You get me? But he'll be much worse than the 19-year-old. Why? Because sin is like fishing. Satan casts a lure, and we bite, and he starts reeling us in. That's what James says. He starts reeling us in. And see, what satisfied you at one point in your life, whether it's lust or whether it's money, whatever it is, what satisfies you at one point in your life will not continue to satisfy you. It goes deeper and deeper and deeper until eventually you are hooked. You are addicted. There's a lot of people in the church that think we only get addicted to drugs or to alcohol or cigarettes. You're way off base. There's all kinds of addiction in the body of Christ besides drugs, alcohol. But Jesus can set you free. There is no sin that he cannot deliver you from. There's no perversion that he cannot break over your life if we trust him and we develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit to continue to lead us and guide us. Billy Graham, young in his life, he realized there's four areas that he would be tempted in. Lust. Jeez, you mean, how? This just doesn't even seem right that I could talk about Billy Graham and lust in the same sentence. Oh, dear Jesus, that's just not right. Lust, wealth, power, and pride. You know what Billy Graham was saying? I am a man just like everybody else. So what did he do? He put safeguards in his life. He put some boundaries in his life. You know, Billy Graham would never meet with a woman alone. Why? He wouldn't give the devil opportunity. Thank you. Wealth, he had a board that determined his salary. He didn't determine it himself. Power, he answered to a group of men. You understand? He set boundaries in his life that would keep him pure in these areas. I find that today's church, we don't want boundaries. We believe, oh no, that we just be free in the Spirit of God to do anything I want to do, and I'm going to go to heaven. I don't know what clouds you've been on, but you're probably been smoking something, all right. You need boundaries. You need boundaries in your life. Young people, I tell them all the time, if you're going to start dating, you need to set some boundaries in your life. What is permissible? What is not permissible? And do not cross that boundary. Guys, it doesn't just stop with teenagers. I'm 55 years old. I've been married 35 years. And if something happened to my wife and I found myself single again or vice versa, we would have to practice the same boundaries. Come on, you listen to me and you listen to me close. It's no more wrong to have sex outside of marriage when you're 18 as when you're 55 years old. Sex outside of marriage is not God's plan. I had no earthly idea of saying this stuff today. But you can fool yourself if you want to, but you are not pleasing God when you live that kind of life. And you will not get to the place where God wants to take you living a compromised life. And the same thing could go with, maybe that's not your problem, but maybe you have a problem telling the truth. Maybe you have a problem taking things that are not yours. Are you following me today? Set some boundaries up in your life. Have somebody in your life that you know is closed-lipped so that you can go and say, can I talk to you on a regular basis and you hold me accountable for my relationship with God? You can go to that sister. You can go and never cross over the sexuality of it. If you're, in other words, if you're a girl, you find a sister in the Lord. If you're a man, you find a man in the Lord. No man needs to have an accountability partner that's a woman. That's just stupid. But you should have somebody in your life that you can go to and say, I'm having a very difficult time with temptation. Will you pray and believe with me? Yes, I will. And I'm going to bug the snot out of you for the next couple of weeks, making sure you don't cross over that line. Oh, for people in our life that would hold us accountable to what God has called us to do. Guys, can I just say this? It's more than just getting to heaven. Let's accomplish the calling of God on our life. Let's see what God really wants to do. Do you realize there could be the next Billy Graham sitting right here? I love Billy Graham. I think he changed our world. We need another one, don't we? John chapter 16, verse 13 says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he'll guide you into all truth. He'll not speak on his own. He'll speak only what he hears, and he'll tell you what is yet to come. Romans 8, 14 says, but those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Galatians 5, 16 says, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you'll not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. God doesn't lead you to sin. God wants to keep you away from sin and to keep you pure. There's some great things that happened to Jesus during those 40 days. Number one is prayer and fasting. And let me just say this, if Jesus thought it necessary to fast and to pray, how much more do we need to? We need to be fasting and praying. Temptation will actually solidify the call of God on your life when you overcome it. Martin Luther said there's three things to make a successful minister: prayer, meditation, and temptation. Come on, now that just goes a little bit beyond comprehension, doesn't it? Martin Luther, the great man of God, said there's three things that will make you successful in ministry. Prayer, we all know that one. Meditation, yeah, we understand, and temptation. But he doesn't mean yielding to temptation. He means keeping away from temptation makes you stronger. It was a time of supernatural provision where the Bible says the angels ministered to him. Every Christian that I know thinks of the wilderness as the plague. God, don't lead me into the wilderness. Anything but the wilderness. I want you to know that if God is leading you into a time, and I believe this is prophetic. If God is leading, so listen to me, I know I'm losing you. But if God is leading you into a time of the wilderness experience, it is for your benefit. It is not for your demise. He wants to strengthen you. How do you overcome the wilderness? Only by the Spirit. You have got to walk in the Spirit when you're in the wilderness. What's the wilderness, Eric? What are you talking about? I'm talking about when the doctor gives you a bad report. I'm talking about when your daughter dies. I told Cindy, I said, there are all kinds of people across this congregation that have lost sons and daughters. I can think of nothing more severe on earth. I'm talking about times when financially you have to believe God for the next meal. Those are wilderness experiences. How do you get through it? By depending upon the Holy Ghost. How did he overcome the temptation? By quoting the Word of God. The Bible calls the Word the double-edged sword. You see, when Jesus spoke it, it has one edge. But when you quote the Word that Jesus wrote, it's double-edged. So when the Word of God comes out of your mouth, it's a double-edged sword. It will help you. It's the only thing I know that will help you overcome the temptation of Satan, is quoting the Word. And you know what makes that so scary? Is the body of Christ today is ignorant of the Word of God. I didn't figure that would get a whole lot of amens.
Amen.
We need to start reading the book. Some of us treat the Bible like it's something that's so precious. We take it and we put it on our shelf and we bow to it. Oh, it's so reverent. Oh, I've got the Word of God in my living room, drawing dust. The Word of God doesn't do any good up there. But it does good when you take it off the shelf and you open it up and you start reading it. And you say, Spirit of God, what's that verse mean? Hey, I need understanding to that. You'll overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of this testimony. It was a time of divine wisdom and intervention. When he comes out of the wilderness, the Bible says immediately, John was jailed, but immediately Jesus began to preach the good news of the kingdom. The gospel. The word gospel means good news. Romans 10:13. I believe this is good news. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I believe Jesus was saying that. Call upon the Lord and you'll be saved. Luke chapter 4 verse 18 and 19 says, it's a quote from Isaiah. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. I remember Pastor Art saying so many times, what's the good news to the poor? Good news to the poor is you don't have to be poor anymore. Right? We have spiritualized poverty in the church. Poverty is a curse. God's an abundant God. And if you're poor today, just determine, God, take me out of this. I don't want just enough to feed my family. I want enough to feed another family. I want enough to support missionaries and to give to the work of God. I don't care about driving a Mercedes. I care about the kingdom. I believe God will prosper those. Bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom from the prisoners. There's people in the body of Christ that are as much jailed as anybody in Edible or any jail in this world. There's people in the body of Christ sitting jailed today, right here in the body. Freedom from the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. There's one scripture and one version that says to heal the bruised. I love that. Because I think when you look across the congregation, you see bruised people. I see people that's been beat up by the devil. He thought he had you whipped. He thought he had you on the mat. And he walked away and the Spirit of God came in. And today in this service, we have former drug addicts that's been delivered by the grace of God. We've got people in every situation that's been beat up and left for dead until God came in. God is the rejuvenator. He is the one that brings life to the dead. He is the one that can heal the bruised hearts. I don't care how many times you've been divorced, God's got a better day for you. Divorce is not the unpardonable sin. God wants to heal the bruised. He wants to restore life. It's very possible that today you're sitting here and you feel like, Pastor, that's a great sermon. I wish I'd heard it 2 years ago. Because I've been in the wilderness for 2 years. Well, maybe today is the day that he says, let me lead you out. Let me lead you out of the wilderness so that you can start putting back your life together and learn what you have experienced is going to strengthen you. I believe today, prophetically speaking, I believe there's people in the wilderness that God is wanting to say, come on, I'm driving you, but I'm driving you out of here now. There's others that's headed into the wilderness. And there's some of you just scared to death that you're going to go into the wilderness. Oh, dear God, I don't want that. I got news for you. God's God in every stage of your life. If you'll depend upon Him. I remember Betsy Tin Boone spoke to her sister, Corey. And she said this. She said, there is no pit so deep that God's love does not go deeper still. You cannot dig a hole so deep that the Spirit of God can't find you. Man, that's an anointed word from God. That is not this preacher. That's the Spirit of God trying to infuse hope into your life. You may be thinking, I have messed my life up. God wouldn't want me. Let me tell you, God's the master of taking broken lives and making them ministers of the gospel of Christ. You may be in line to have your own church, is all I know. Are you getting it? Spirit of God wants to do something in you. New and fresh. Stand with me. A few weeks ago, I spoke to you about Hezekiah spreading his letter out before the Lord. And I ask you if you want to come and put pictures or stuff on the altar, to come and put it before the Lord and leave it. For you OCD people who see this altar being cluttered, it's going to drive you crazy. but I'm going to give you an anointed word. Don't touch it. I believe this is a holy thing. It may seem like a strange thing. It may seem very simple to you. But if you got a picture of a daughter, if you got something you're believing God for, I'd have it on this altar. I don't know when the Lord will say, clean your altar. But I want you to know, I believe God is looking at our altar today. Let me get up here where I can see your eyes. I know we're a few minutes past 12 o'clock, and it makes people antsy. The Spirit of God doesn't really know about a clock. So I want to invite you to come down, and I know you've already been down possibly today, but I just feel in my spirit there's some people that's been hurting. There's some people that just needs a time of refreshing in the Holy Ghost. There's some people that just need to hear from God. Pastor Art used to always say, one word from God will change your life. Do you realize today could be that day when God speaks to your heart? So if you're here today and you want, if you're hungry for a move of God, I'm just going to open these altars up again. I'm just going to ask you to come and stand. If you have an appointment that you say, I have to leave, just excuse yourself and just consider this by shaking hands with you. God bless you today. There is nothing more important than letting God touch you where you're at. If you've been going through a time of wilderness, the Spirit of God wants to speak to you today. If you're believing God for something, God wants to touch you. Now I would like for you that are standing back there to gather in behind these and just lay your hands on them. If you're not right with God, then don't come up. But if you have, and if somebody is just like beaming in your heart, that's the person that you need to pray for. Amen. Amen.
Call upon the name of the Lord and be saved.
That's what we want to do.
Call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Call upon the Lord. So call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. We call you Lord. Oh, call upon the name of the Lord.
Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved, is what the scripture says. Today is the day to lift your voice. Call upon the Lord. Father, I need you. I need a touch of God in my life. I need revival. I need the Spirit of God to touch again. Jesus, I submit myself to you. I pray the Spirit of God would sweep across this congregation, would ignite hearts, drive the sadness, drive the darkness away in the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Lord, we pray, Lord, for those that are hurting, Lord, that you would touch them, that you would relieve them. Lord, those that are dry would be filled today. Lord, those that need provision, Lord, answer their prayer for provision. You are the great healer. You are the great provider. You are the miracle-working God. We don't look to a man. We look to you, God. Heal their hearts. Lord, touch the bruised today. Touch those that have been beaten up by this world. Touch them, Lord. Lord, let the Spirit of God heal their hearts. Jesus.
Let me say,
Jesus, we need you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heal their hurts, Lord. Heal their hurts, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Eddie. Hallelujah. Father, we extend our hands to the vines right now. Lord, they need you in so many different areas of their life, Father. Lord, you are El Shaddai. You are the God in whom we draw strength. We pray for Carol Vine to be healed in Jesus' name. We pray for Tyler and Vince, Father, to be men of God, Lord. They have a calling of God on their life, Lord. We pray, Lord Jesus, that these sons, Lord, would be men of God, Father. Drive back the darkness in their life, Lord. Let the light of the gospel shine through. Let the scales on their eyes fall off so that your light only remains in their life. Lord, touch Carrie's back, Father. Bring healing to him. Bring healing in Jesus' name to that back. Lord, touch Julie Hall in Jesus' name. Father, we say that mass is gone in Jesus' name. We speak healing. It is benign and it is out of her body in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. We pray, Lord Jesus, for Brother Bud this morning. I pray that he would experience a revival, Lord, in his spirit to God. I pray that you would heal his body. May the Spirit of God come into that room right now. May your presence overwhelm him, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray for those that have been struggling, Lord, with past addictions and past lives. Lord, you are the reason that they are here today. Father, may they cling close to you, Lord. May they go the distance with you. May they overcome in Jesus' name. Spirit of God, we need you. We need you, Spirit of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, we pray for the prodigals in this church. Father, we call in our sons and our daughters, Lord. We call in mom and dad, aunts and uncles, Lord. People that have known the way of God and have walked away. Father, we pray, Lord, let the Spirit of God revive them, Lord. Do something in their heart. Lord, heal them. Bring them back to the altar of Christ. Hallelujah. Father, the prodigal son came to his senses. He came to his senses. Lord, let our prodigals come to their senses and know there's only one way out of this dark hole, and it is Jesus Christ. I must follow his lights. Father, we worship you. We worship you. Lord, we don't stand in judgment to no person. There go I except for the grace of God. There go I except for the grace of God. Lord, we're humble before you. We submit ourselves to you. We resist the devil, and he will flee from our lives. Hallelujah. Heal our hearts. Heal our hearts, Jesus. We cry out to you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Would you just raise your hands? Just tell the Lord you are dependent upon him. I will survive because I am an overcomer in Christ. Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I will not give this victory away. And I will not even let my eyes see defeat. I am an overcomer in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the victory. This is the victory. This is the victory. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Our testimony is, he saw me through it. He walked with me in the dark of night, and I have overcome because of him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. We worship you, the soon coming King. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name.